Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. As COVID-19 forces billions across the globe to stay home, Zoom has become a popular platform for business meetings, classes, and happy hours alike. But with its rapid growth, the San Jose-based video conferencing company has drawn criticism from security and privacy watchers. Reports of Zoom bombing, where unwanted users crash meetings with distracting or abusive attacks, are on the rise, and thousands of personal Zoom videos have been exposed on the web, according to a Washington Post investigation. We're going to take up the issues, and we want to hear from you. If you're using video conferencing apps, what concerns do you have? You can give us a call right now, and we welcome your calls. The number to call is 866-733-6786. The number again, 866-733-6786. And you can also get in touch with us on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions you might have or comments to forum@kqed.org. And joining us now is Drew Harwell. He's a technology reporter with the Washington Post. Drew Harwell, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. And this FBI report that came out last Monday, was pretty stinging about security and privacy questions, lack of safety. How much is the Zoom bombing going on? It's on the rise, but do we have a sense of how to quantify how much?
We don't have specific numbers, but we have enough sort of nightmarish anecdotes to tell that it's a huge problem. You can see on YouTube and online where some of these jokers are posting videos of their exploits, and they're doing it in, you know, not just sort of elementary school classrooms, but they're doing this in Alcoholics Anonymous meetings and church groups and, you know, Bible studies and social clubs, where they're, you know, invading these rooms. Surprisingly, they're posting pornography, they're writing racial slurs, they're just doing all sorts of, you know, annoying internet troll stuff. And it's, you know, on a typical day, this would just be sort of standard online harassment. It's just something you see on a lot of platforms. But with Zoom, it's become something that is people's entire lives, right? It's work, it's school, it's socializing. And, you know, it's become to a point where people are afraid to join these calls because they have no idea what's going to happen.
Well, we should mention that the New York State school system has now banned Zoom. They're talking about using Microsoft Teams. And for that matter, Elon Musk and SpaceX is not using Zoom anymore. So there's a great deal of concern. And credit to you for the work you've done for The Washington Post on bringing this to public attention. A lot of this also has to do with sharing. I want to get to that with you because Zoom did a lot of sharing with Facebook, and that has caused a class action suit. But a lot of this goes to LinkedIn, doesn't it?
Yeah, there are some LinkedIn connections as well, where you could sort of create a profile, be calling with people, and one of the LinkedIn interactions sort of post your profile, even if you're using a pseudonym or trying to hide your identity. A lot of these security problems around Zoom are, you know, in the company's defense, you know, they didn't design a product to be used by everybody everywhere, right? They used, you know, their market was businesses who have their own IT teams who can set all these settings for people and, you know, and implement these controls. The company has even said, you know, they were not expecting this huge mainstream flood of people, but no one was really expecting this lockdown, right? And so Zoom is kind of having to patch all of these holes as they go. But, you know, the normal everyday user ends up becoming kind of the subject of this grand experiment, how we're all using Zoom. And so I think we're going to be seeing more of these security questions to come. And it's just a matter of, are people leaving themselves at risk by, you know, using these kinds of systems?
Well, there's a lot of vulnerability to hacks and abuse or security flaws that could essentially allow for stealing of login information, reading messages, taking control of users' cameras and microphones. But Eric Yuan, the CEO of Zoom, said, as you just indicated, they never anticipated anything near this kind of use. But they're freezing new features now for 90 days. What does that amount to?
I think that amounts to them saying this is a serious problem and it's all hands on deck to patch up these issues. They're saying anything new that we could, you know, any new bobble we could turn on for people to sort of celebrate, that has to go on the back burner. We have to deal with these security issues. And, you know, it's really rare to see a startup like Zoom explode in this way where they're used by everybody. And so, you know, we also have lots of security researchers who are at home and they got nothing better to do but test the hot new thing. And so all of the scrutiny and all of the spotlight is on Zoom right now, and Zoom is saying we have to respond in kind and start, patching up these things that have been issues maybe for a while, but nobody had even really seen.
Well, San Jose-based video conferencing company Zoom is drawing criticism from security and privacy watchers, and we're talking about that with Washington Post technology reporter Drew Harwell. If you'd like to add your voice to this, if you have questions or comments, we welcome your involvement. You can join us now, and if you're using, by the way, video conferencing apps, what concerns do you have, and how do you protect your privacy? We'll talk about that with Drew as well, but you can give us a call, and we welcome your calls. The number to call, 866-733-6786. That number again, 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions you might have to forum@kqed.org. And Eric Ewan, who is, again, the CEO of Zoom, has talked about, apologized for a lot of this, but also talked about new work that's being done, redirecting, for example, their engineers to tackle these security failures. I want to read a statement that Zoom put forward to us. We asked them to join us, but they declined. But they sent this statement, quote, "We are deeply upset to hear about the incidents involving this type of attack, and we strongly condemn such behavior. Starting on March 20th, we've been actively educating users on how they can protect their meetings and help prevent incidents of harassment through features like waiting rooms, passwords, muting controls, and limiting screen sharing. We've also been offering trainings, tutorials, and webinars to help users understand their own account features and how to best use the platform. We are listening to our community of users to help us evolve our approach. For example, we recently changed the default settings for education users to enable waiting rooms by default and ensure teachers by default are the only ones who can share content in class. And finally, we encourage users to report any incidents of this kind directly to us." And they put a link, which we will put on our website. But the real question, I think, if I may, Drew, boils down to whatever they're doing now. At this point, people are concerned and people want to know what they can do, individually what they can do. And let us know from your perspective, particularly since there's a lot of private information going out on Zoom calls. There's a lot of things that come under HIPAA law and the like. What do you suggest?
Yeah, HIPAA is definitely a big thing, and also FERPA for these schools
yes.
that have to deal with privacy. I think everybody has. It's hard now because so many kids are shifting onto Zoom. People's work meetings are shifting onto Zoom. It feels like we have less time than ever, and that's I think definitely the case for a lot of people. But it's important to realize that every time you place your personal data and your video data onto one of these platforms, they become potentially vulnerable. One of the big issues people have been having is that they're recording their videos and then posting them online into places where they are publicly accessible. They're not password protected. And then anybody can download those videos. We've seen that, we were able to see thousands of videos online where, these were Zoom videos, really intimate meetings. So I think a big part of it is know who you're talking to and know whether you want to just live stream it and let it just sort of fall into the ether after that, or whether you want to record it and save that for posterity. There are some other things too, like make sure your meeting is password protected so not anybody can join in and Zoom bomb you. You can use things like Zoom has a waiting room where before anybody joins a meeting, they have to go into this kind of pre-meeting stage where you can vet them and then allow them in. All of these things, and Zoom has been, I think, responsive to these and changing some of these defaults to make them a little more user-friendly. But, I think for most people, they just have to get a little more comfortable with the controls. There's a lot of advanced settings that are new to most of us. And, and yet the risk of getting it wrong and exposing, your kids or yourself in this potentially dangerous way, I think it's important to be clear on the setting.
Well, as someone who's read your articles, one of the first things you said about protecting yourself is you don't have to record if you're the host, so you can get others not to record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the big thing. And in a lot of these cases, these are 16, 20, 30 people in one meeting. All it takes is one person to record the video and then post it online and, potentially expose people in that way. So, it's helpful to know.
But watch where you post it, right?
Excuse me. Yeah, watch where you post it. Yeah, be careful. And just make sure, is the video being recorded? Is everybody on the call somebody I know? I look through the list of participants. Is there somebody who sticks out or doesn't have a name? That could be somebody who's joining the call and invading and gonna, maybe be harassing people on the call. Some of these things may be exceptions. Some of them may not be problematic, but all it takes is one bad occasion for you to sort of rethink the use of it.
All right, again, we're talking with Drew Harwell of the Washington Post, technology reporter, and let's go to your calls. Let's begin with Bob from Richmond. Bob, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much. And I just actually will follow along on what your speaker just said. I belong to MAA, and the East Bay AA organization has an extensive number of Zoom meetings that, people have been participating in pretty actively, as you can imagine, under these conditions. And we've been bombed several times at various meetings. We've developed using what your person was just talking about, which is a waiting room system, where when you sign on, there's a delay of 5 or 10 seconds. It seems it's not very long, where you're sort of checked against that meeting's phone list. The problem for AA is peculiar because we're an all-embracing fellowship, so obviously the purpose of AA is for people who are questioning their drinking or want some help with their drinking to be able to come in. And you're literally, all you need to walk into an AA meeting is a desire to stop drinking. And so we can't really stop people even if we don't recognize their name on our phone list, and nor would we want to. So we have been bombed, and what we've taken as a fail-safe method, or at least the group in general have, is to shut the meeting down as soon as that happens. And we have now, instead of just one secretary holding the meeting, we have a secretary, and then we have what we call a security host, which is the person who shuts the meeting down when if it gets bombed. Pretty much every meeting that I know of in our East Bay network has adopted this system, and then everyone in the meeting basically knows that the meeting's going to start up again in about 5 minutes. We wait about 5 minutes.
Yeah, Bob, let me thank you for that call. I'm glad that you brought up especially your experience in AA, and I appreciate hearing from you. I'm wondering if Drew Harwell thinks what you have done might be really a way to go, not only for other AA groups, but for those who want privacy.
I think that's extremely smart. It's fascinating to me hearing, people have to sort of create their own defense measures, because this is a problem. And so, yeah, I think that's really smart. I think it's a shame that people do have to resort to that, obviously. You would sort of hope that the software would have those controls in place already. I think it's good that Zoom is starting to turn stuff like waiting rooms on by default. But, in some cases, the damage has been done. People are vulnerable. They're in homes. They're not wanting to have to deal with this. So I think that's really smart. And I think we're going to be seeing that more and more because we're seeing a lot of schools and classes and work groups go on to Zoom. They're going to be more familiar with it over time. And they're going to hopefully be taking some of these measures into their own hands. But I think that's smart. And for a group that is all-inclusive and is welcoming to everybody, that's going to be a challenge for a long time. How do we make sure we're separating the good people from the trolls?
Yeah, good luck to you, Bob, because there are a lot of trolls out there, a lot of people with too much time on their hands and not using it in constructive ways. Here's Warren, who writes, I recently was impersonated by someone on Zoom with another participant who had never met me before. No harm done, but the person who was fooled, she works for a large bank, was asked for funding by the impersonator. I set her straight later in the day, but it was unsettling, to say the least. And Jane writes, Litquake has been doing an online series of spring literary events on Zoom. We had to disconnect the Q&A part of the Zoom app because we got so many trolls and bots. One event had less than 100 people tuned in, but more than 500 comments and questions, many racist and most clearly generated robotically. If this pandemic is bringing out the good in people, we are certainly not seeing it on Zoom. Let me go to another caller. And Robert joins us from Sacramento. Robert, you're on. Good morning.
Good morning. I just a comment and then a question. The comment is I've always had the kind of digital lifestyle where I take the extra steps to adjust my settings in order to have maximum security when possible. And I know your speaker said that. I just would really like to, just as with this COVID, taking these extra steps really can make a huge difference. So just enforcing everybody to, go into their settings and tune things up a little bit. Take the extra 20 seconds or whatever it takes to have a password protection. I work for a local community college district, and the original, because we had to switch over very, very quickly from face-to-face classes to online classes, and they were using the Zoom system, they originally started out just trying to get everybody on board, and they were recommending not going password protected, but they have since changed over to saying they should add a password just because of these problems that have cropped up. So there may be a lot of people that started up without password protection and need to go into their settings and change that over. And then my personal question is, how does the security level on things like Zoom compare with things like FaceTime, Skype, or some of the Facebook, you know, chat things that go on?
Yeah, can you quantify that for us, Drew? It's an important question.
It is an important question. It's something we're learning about more and more. You know, for some of the other systems run by Microsoft Teams, Google Hangouts, others, from the security researchers we've been talking to, there's been a feeling that a lot of these sort of basic security flaws you don't really find in something like a Google or a Microsoft. They have huge teams that are devoted to, you know, finding bad actors, and they've just been doing it for a long time. That's kind of a overgeneralization, I think. But, you know, Zoom is just, they are not a product that is similar to a Google Hangouts. They have not had that, you know, established platform for as long. And so, you know, a lot of the sort of basic frustrations that some of these researchers were finding, they were feeling like you would never see from a Google or a Microsoft. So I don't know that we have enough information to say one is much more, you know, dangerous or volatile than the other. But, you know, I think we have been seeing a ton more, you know, reasons for concern in something like Zoom. And you're just seeing a bigger audience, too. So you're going to see more cases of, you know, this misuse here. But I think it's still sort of a waiting game to figure out, like, which one is really most useful for the most people and which one may be more problematic.
Well, I mentioned before, Drew, that New York schools are banning Zoom, and they're talking about transitioning to Microsoft Teams. And there's a lot of concern about Microsoft Teams having some of the same security problems. But I also wanted to ask you, speaking about New York, New York Times put out a study about organized Zoom harassment campaigns. There's actually organized campaigns going on to Zoom bombing?
Yeah, there really is. On Reddit and some of these other chat services like Discord, you'll see big groups of people, anonymous people, of course, who are sharing meeting IDs, sharing passwords even for some of these rooms. And like your caller previously, who was talking about Alcoholics Anonymous, they'll say, here's an AA meeting, let's jump in. And, you know, in some groups are saying, some groups have, you know, their own codes, like don't share, you know, porn or something if it's a school classroom. But some are just out to be as destructive and disruptive as possible. And so, yeah, there is some coordination behind the scenes. And these people just, like you said, they don't really have lives right now. They're just being just cruel. And, you know, for a lot of them, it's kind of a game. And so, you know, there's something really frustrating about that, seeing people sort of prey on people in this moment of vulnerability. But you're also seeing some of these school students who are, you know, they're in high school, they've shifted all of their classes online. Some of them are just pranksters, and they're sharing their own codes and their own passwords and saying, I would love for somebody to jump into my class and embarrass my teacher, or, you know, make my peers laugh. And so I think we're going to be seeing that more and more, because there's just such a easy way for some of these people to wreak havoc. And, you know, this is a moment for them.
Well, it's a cliche, but nonetheless true, that these kind of crises bring out the worst and the best in people. Here's a listener, Susan, who says, last week, Fisher Middle School in Los Gatos had to abruptly halt and cancel a seventh grade English class because of a Zoom Vader. And Laddie tweets, my kiddo seemed to know for sure that the Zoom bombers in her class discussion were from TikTok. Is that possible, too? I thought maybe they were sharing their Zoom link with each other on their TikTok and Instagram profiles, but it sounds like the hackers are just everywhere.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, these meeting IDs for the Zoom are just 9 numbers long. So it's fairly easy to share that kind of ID. And before, you know, the last couple of days, most rooms were public. There weren't these password rules unless you took the extra step. So You know, some people were just making up 9-number codes and just jumping in wherever they wanted to. And so, you know, it was just, you know, there's just such a huge exposure here because people are turning on, you know, this viewpoint into their homes. They've never used the app before. And then you've got this other group of people who are have too much time on their hands and just a desire to disrupt. So yeah, we have been hearing about school classes canceled and social groups disbanded. And, you know, in the DC area, there have been some historically Black colleges and universities that have had to shut entire events down because they've been getting all sorts of racist slurs. And it's just, you know, it's really alarming. And so, you know, I think part of those would happen on any platform where there's video and where there's a lot of people signing on. I don't think it's a Zoom specific issue, but some of these, you know, design decisions by Zoom making these rooms presumptively public did aggravate the problem. So I think we're going to be dealing with that for a while.
Well, there were 200 million daily users last month on Zoom. There are a lot of people very dependent on it. Let me get to some more of your calls, and let's go to Jeannie in Sonoma, or excuse me, let's go to Ken in San Francisco. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. I've used Zoom for the last year, dozens, maybe hundreds of times. I find it to be a software I have to use, one I'd rather not, but it seems to be the default method across the University of California. If you can imagine doctors discussing patient cases with medical data, Zoom is known and has admitted to harvesting data off all of its calls. And that is a problem HIPAA-wise, and especially at this heightened time when people are discussing health. They could stop this practice tomorrow, but they keep making excuses that they're trying to keep up, but they're not. This is something they could stop tomorrow. What I'd recommend to anyone using Zoom is always begin your meeting by asking people to identify themselves. The biggest flaw I have had is that if you call into my meeting, I only see your phone number if you don't enter a name, and that's the default practice. Names should be required for your meeting holders, and call out a roll at the beginning.
That's a good suggestion, Ken, but I want to get Drew Harwell's response to what you said, which is they could end this tomorrow if they want to. Drew Harwell?
That's the million-dollar question. Will they change their practices in terms of data collection, you know, now that they're facing more scrutiny? You know, and the telehealth idea is a big one. You know, there are a ton of hospitals, clinics, outpatient, inpatient, that are shifting onto video platforms, not just Zoom, but others. You know, are people being put at risk? They're talking about medical conditions and their location and chatting with their doctor in all these, you know, seemingly confidential ways. So, you know, I think there, whenever you use any kind of internet service, there's going to be data exchange. Just that's what you need. I mean, that's what the software demands in terms of having a functional experience. But, you know, Zoom has made some design decisions that have sort of erred on the side of making it a easy product to use, but sort of taking away some of these security controls and privacy controls. I think hopefully, you know, from some of the messaging they've been giving over the last couple of days is they want to shift toward giving people a better opportunity at controlling some of the data that's flowing out from their computer.
But I also want to emphasize something else, if I may, Drew, and that is the concern about private data essentially getting into the wrong hands. I mean, for example, I was reading about a group of women who were trying to get out of toxic relationships, and they were talking, and essentially their information could have been co-opted, and in this case particularly was.
Yeah, that was a group that I had spoken with. They had a video that was recorded of a group therapy session. It was a group for lesbian and queer women. They were meeting to talk about roller coaster relationships. And, you know, this was a really sensitive talk. Everybody was sharing their own personal stories. And somebody had recorded that video, either inadvertently or purposely put it online in a public place. And, you know, researchers and I were able to view it. And so I you know, called the people who ran that group and told them what had happened. But, you know, there are thousands of videos like that online. And so, you know, people aren't always aware of what kind of data leakage is happening from them. There's kind of a data pollution that people don't realize. And so when it comes to video data and sensitive stories, that's a really big issue. And so, you know, I think Zoom and people who are using the product need to be careful about what they're putting out there.
And again, we're talking to Drew Harwell of The Washington Post. Let me go to another caller here, and let's go to Jeannie in Sonoma. Jeannie, join us. Welcome. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is Brian from Roanoke Park. Brian, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'm an IT professional, and we've been using Zoom for a couple of years. We've implemented some security measures, you know, like single sign-on to be able to access the accounts. I think the question has probably already been answered, but it sounds like the security flaw is really people posting their meeting IDs and then not having those meeting IDs secured with a password. Is there a different flaw or another flaw that you would say is really the most risky? And I'm happy to take my answer off the air. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call, Brian. To you, Drew Harwell.
Yeah, those are a couple of the basic ones, but there are actually some more technical ones that is probably worth sort of reading about after the call. But some of them are, you know, even in the install process, the app kind of makes itself look like it's part of your operating system. So it demands some, you know, hardware requirements that you maybe people don't really expect. It sort of uses some software vulnerabilities in a way that could allow somebody else to turn on your webcam, turn on your microphone, that kind of thing. Zoom says they're patching up some of these things, so it's hard to know whether these are fixes that are in the works already. But you know, there are kind of more granular software vulnerabilities beyond just sort of people posting their meeting IDs, and you know, that could sort of leave people at risk.
Well, a key question from a listener named Tim. He says, as long as we're not discussing confidential information, is there any real threat of stealing data? I think the answer is yes, isn't it? Because of the
yeah,
partnerships
yeah.
with we did partnerships, like I said, with Facebook and LinkedIn and so forth.
Yeah, that's right. It's always the, you know, what do I have to hide question when it comes to internet data. But, you know, anytime you use an app, anytime it's connected to the internet, you will be surprised at what is shared, you know, and it can go down to your IP address, your location. In terms of the Facebook connection, you know, the app was sending data to Facebook as part of this login with Facebook thing, but this was even being sent even if you didn't have a Facebook account. So we don't always know the information that's being shared about us, and that pertains to Zoom as well.
And we've got a lot of callers we didn't have an opportunity to get on. Jeannie, for example, said she's been at 3 Zoom meetings for a large writer's club, and they were Zoom bombed with hardcore porn, and it was frightening, and the grandchildren saw this, and it's an ongoing problem. Drew Harwell, so glad to have you with us. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks so much.
And Drew Harwell, again, is a reporter for The Washington Post, technology reporter. And I think he's answered a good deal of the questions, but the questions will continue, and we'll continue to monitor this as best we can. Another hour up ahead, Larry Brilliant, a brilliant epidemiologist, will join us in the second hour. Stay tuned for that. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation.